right, so it's only Monday, but there's a lot to talk about because the news does not stop over the weekend, and boy, was this a weekend. Elections in France have resulted in Sarkozy being kicked out, the socialist candidate promising the end to austerity being voted in. Elections in Greece putting the bailout in jeopardy and bringing in some hardcore right-wingers, maybe also in rejection of austerity. And student protesters in Quebec are calling for free tuition. So we're definitely seeing a shift in the public mood. And we have to ask how all that is playing out here at home in our election that will also center around the economy. Our Monday Hangover panel is here to hash it all out. Joining me to discuss this evening is Anthony Randazzo, Director of Economic Research for the Reason Foundation, and Derek Thompson, Senior Editor at The Atlantic. Gentlemen, thank you for joining me this evening.
Good to be here.
So let's just recap what happened this weekend a little bit, right? If you want to talk about France, François Hollande, the first socialist president, has been elected now in France since the 1980s. He's running on anti-austerity, pro-growth. He's going to scrap tax breaks for the rich that Sarkozy put in there. He wants to get more from the people that are making a lot off of financial transactions. And he sold himself as Mr. Normal after Sarkozy's president of the rich, I guess you could say, image that a lot of people got out of him. In Greece, it's a little bit less coherent, right? Because you have all of the mainstream candidates, as you'd like to call them, the people that have been going on or going along with the austerity measures that have been inflicted upon Greece because of the bailouts. And so they're out, and now you have some really far right-wing parties that have gotten a lot of support, some really far left-wing parties, I think I'm doing it the opposite way, that have gotten more support. Things aren't resolved there yet, but how do you think that we should look at all of this?
I think this was a weekend of uprisings. This is exactly what the EU didn't want, a turn towards radicalization, and it's exactly what a lot of people who said austerity isn't going to work said would happen. If you force austerity onto a population that's already going into a recession, they're going to feel like their rights are being taken from them, like their economic rights are at jeopardy, and they're going to vote for somebody not in office, whether it's from the left or the right. I think we saw that in Greece, and I think to a certain extent we saw a similar frustration with government and the direction of government in France. And so even though we saw a far-right candidate brought to power in Greece and a left candidate brought to power in France, I think it was part of a similar attitude of whatever's happening right now, we don't want it.
I think there's actually a couple different stories here. I think Greece is, it's understandable psychologically, the austerity measures don't feel good, and so you're going to push back against what looks like foreign powers coming in and telling you what to do, which is why the far right groups, the ones that are very anti-immigrant, and this is one of the first things that they said, it's like, what's the first thing you want to do? We want to get rid of all the illegal immigrants, that they gain some sort of foothold in Greece. In France, I sense that it's more of a pushback against Sarkozy than actually a lot of favoritism towards the policies that President Hollande is going to put in place. Even he has admitted that his 75% tax on millionaires in France isn't going to do that much to add to the budget. I think there's definitely a protest movement, but it's coming from a couple different sources.
All right, no, that's definitely a fair assessment, right? I mean, I did lump everything into one piece there, but the truth is, you know, and you say obviously that people are going to have a psychological reaction to stuff like this. They're not going to like austerity because always in the short term, when you inflict on austerity, then that means that you're going to suffer, right? Wages are going to go down. Your standard of living is going to go down in certain respects. But a lot of people are using this as a point to say that austerity doesn't work. Austerity has failed, and so we shouldn't use it here. What do you say?
I think the Greek people have a good question when they're essentially saying at the polls, tell me how this ends. Right now, unemployment is rising, the economy is shrinking, and yet still harsher austerity is scheduled to be on the horizon. And they're saying, what exactly is the plan here? At what point are we suffering enough to a certain extent that Germany says, it's all right, now we're going to unleash the next round of bailouts? I mean, one of the problems I think that Europe has in general right now is that it has a monetary union without a fiscal union. So in the United States, if Mississippi has a bad year, bad decade, bad century, we don't debate whether or not we should raise taxes specifically there, cut spending, we just keep paying the Medicaid. That's because we're a fiscal union. Europe is a bunch of extremely different countries pulled together under one currency, and now it's fallen apart. And it doesn't make any sense for Greece to be on the same currency as the rest of the European Union, but in the short term, they're going to be. And the result of that is going to be incredible pain for the Greek people until they force the German and core governments to either give them some sort of remarkable bailout or set forward the path so that they can leave the European Union.
Well, I think one of the things that Greece has to grapple with is not necessarily even the question is austerity working, but is that particular austerity working? Because Greece is actually, it's almost the worst of all possible worlds for the Greek citizen, because they have to go through they have to take all this pain, where bondholders are not having to take as much. You know, maybe 50% haircuts may seem like a lot, but you know, why shouldn't it be 75% haircuts for bondholders? And on top of that, Greece is sticking in the fiscal union, in the monetary union, just long enough for the euro to not hit other major European countries. This bailout that Greece has is not going to last for another 10, 15 years. Eventually, Greece is going to have to default. Eventually, Greece is going to have to pull out of the euro. When that happens, the rest of Europe is going to be more or less walled off from that effect, and it's only going to hit Greece. Greece should be upset, not at austerity in general, but because of the type of austerity that's being forced upon them, where the Greek citizens have to go through pain, the rest of Europe doesn't have to feel the pain along with them.
Well, Greece is definitely an anomaly in that sense, right? But if you look at France, if you look at the UK, then people are specifically angry at austerity. And so if you are a politician in the US right now, if you're Mitt Romney, if you're Barack Obama, if you're Paul Ryan, that keeps putting budgets out there, should you be paying a little bit more attention to Europe? Right. If you want to talk about another budget that Paul Ryan has introduced, it once again guts very heavily social programs. I think that a full 1/4 of this budget, in fact, comes out of programs that directly help the poor, and that includes Meals on Wheels, food stamps, and the like. But he's doing that in order to offset cuts to defense. And I mean, I don't know. Is that a smart thing?
Well, it is unsurprising. I think it's unsurprising to note that both parties see in Europe the validation of their own argument. You know, Europe is a Rorschach, like any other piece of news, and each side sees, oh my God, this proves everything I thought beforehand magically. I mean, the Democrats are saying, I think with persuasiveness, that this shows that austerity doesn't work, that you can't enforce spending cuts and taxing, or we're not going to have tax increases in the U.S., but spending cuts in a population that isn't growing very fast if you can't export your way or depreciate your way out of the problem. Republicans like Paul Ryan are saying, the reason that we're in this situation in the first place is because we didn't have smart budgeting. And so this is a smart budget to prevent us from ever becoming like Greece. So that's what each side is saying.
Everybody sees what they want.
I agree with that point, that really you can read almost whatever you want into Europe. We shouldn't be upset with the Paul Ryan budget throwing so much money at defense spending because of Europe. We should be upset at it just by the very nature, you know, what
overall,
you're pointing out in
yeah.
your opening story. There's a lot of problems with the Ryan budget and how much money it wants to spend on defense going forward. In and of itself, that can be a reason to sort of be frustrated. The one thing to point out, though, is the one thing the Ryan budget does not do is it's not gutting social programs as much as it's funneling a lot more money towards government, towards military spending than it is towards social programs going forward. The budget as a whole doesn't really cut spending. It's all one sort of big myth, sort of. It's a smokescreen that he's sort of putting out there.
If you take money away from one program and you give it to another program, then you're still cutting money from the program that's going to be taking a loss. Okay, maybe, yeah, sure, you can put it that way, but that doesn't mean that
over time
he's shrinking
the size of government. He is shrinking the size of government, particularly by simply not paying Medicare and Social Security the way that we expect it to. I guess he hasn't talked that much about Social Security, but he's been for privatizing it in the past. I mean, what's really happening is that he looks at all non-mandatory spending, and he says, let's shrink everything that isn't defense to a point where you can drown in the bathtub, and then with defense, let's more or less keep it where it is, because I know that no Republican is going to vote for a plan that shrinks defense the same way that I want to shrink
small government Republicans that just love to spend and spend and spend and spend on defense. I was going to play a new ad that Obama put out today, but we're running out of time, so that one's boring to me. I want to talk about housing really quick, Anthony, because I know that you recently put out a new report where basically you're arguing that the government just needs to get out of the mortgage investment market. And so let us hear more about
it. Well, the government has 90% of the mortgage origination market right now. Last year, 90% were government backed. That means that, that combined with the bailouts that we had for Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac, taxpayers are on the hook for $5.8 trillion and rising, $5.8 trillion of mortgage debt. That does not, and that's before we even get into the larger budget concerns and the debt that we're talking about. That needs to be rolled back. Now, if you ask the White House, they say, yes, the government shouldn't be backing 90% of the mortgage market. You ask the House Republicans, of course, they're going to say the same thing. The problem is as it stands right now, there's no private sector money flowing to housing because of a whole series of roadblocks, which is what we talk about in our study. One of the big things is that right now, the Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac, they have a big price competitive, they can outprice anybody in the private sector towards buying mortgages. So you don't have any private sector people coming in and competing with them. And another big problem is that you have rating agencies that nobody trusts, so private sector doesn't have any good way of measuring the risk in these mortgages, so they're not going to want to get in the game.
Really quickly, do you have any response to their conclusion here?
I mean, one irony of this is that nobody's buying homes. So, you know, one way to shrink the amount of mortgages that are on the government's payroll is for no one to take out mortgages anymore. And it's interesting that, you know, we built so many single-family homes in the run-up to the Great Recession. And right now, we didn't build enough multifamily homes, enough condos, and that's where people really want to go right now, because the young people who would be first-time homeowners right now aren't buying houses because they're not making a lot of money and they're nervous as heck about the market. So I think, you know, there's an irony here that we're becoming a nation of renters in a way that might actually help this debt burden that is on the government's budget.
Yeah, you're either living with your parents if you're a young person, or if you can get out of your parents' house, then you're definitely renting somewhere. Gentlemen, thanks so much for joining me tonight.
Thank you.
Thank you.